Our Lord Jesus Christ declared, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. These are precious words for us today, words of hope and words of comfort. Want to, on behalf of the family of Suzanne and Karen, to welcome you today to this very special service, a service of remembrance, a service of thanksgiving for the life of a dear brother in the Lord. Want to certainly welcome all the folks who are viewing our service today also online. We're happy for the opportunity and the technology that allows us to do this. We know that under these restrictive times, it's so hard for family and friends who want to be here today to share with the family. And yet, we have the next best thing we can do, and that's to allow you to watch on the service. I trust it will be a blessing to you and to the few folks who are gathered in our church today. I want to ask you please to bow in prayer as we commit our time now to the Lord. Our gracious Father, it is with thanksgiving and joy that we come today to commit ourselves into the hand of our gracious and loving Father. Lord, today we exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful that He is the resurrection and the life, and that only in Him we have hope in this life and hope for the life that is to come. Thankful for the sure and certain knowledge that is given to us in the Scripture. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Lord, we know the command that our Savior gave to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. And Lord, I pray today that the Holy Spirit would come and take the Word of God and write it upon every heart here and upon everyone who is listening today or perhaps at a future time. Lord, we pray for your comfort to be upon Suzanne and Karen, upon the relatives who are here, upon those who are watching. Lord, pour out your Spirit, pour out your grace abundantly, for we know that the promise is, my grace is sufficient for thee in every time of need. Lord, help us to realize that, as our Lord Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Therefore, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. And Lord, we lift our hearts in praise and thanksgiving this morning for the life of our brother Luis Fernandez. And we pray, Lord, that you would encourage his heart, encourage our hearts as we think about his life. And Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God would come now to give help in every part of this service. And Lord, most definitely, you would pour out your comfort and your love. Dear Father, hear our prayers today. Bless this service to the honor and praise of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask in His precious name. Amen. I invite you, those of you who are here today, to take your bulletin. We're going to sing a well-known hymn, How Great Thou Art. Let's stand, please, to worship. Thank you. Please be seated. The Word of God declares for us, in the hand of God is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to weep and a time to laugh and a time to mourn. There is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as the deep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, and in the evening it is cut down and withereth. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The memory of the just is blessed. The Word of God, you know, brings comfort and stillness and consolation to the hearts and minds of people more than any other words can do. And it has encouraged the people of God as it does in such a situation that we find ourselves today. May the Lord enable each one to express from the heart, as Job did, the Lord hath given, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. At this time of our service, I'm going to ask Suzanne and Karen to come. They're going to share a tribute of their dear father, and then they're going to sing a song that was very precious to them in their family, and one they used to sing to their dad and to their mom. It will be worth it all.
We would like to share some reflections of our dad that we have received from our friends and his friends and family. This first tribute is from Dad's friend Rupert Harris. Sincerest condolences to you and the rest of your family from my family and I on the passing of your beloved dad, my dear friend and table tennis partner, Luis Fernandez. Please know that out of nowhere, it seemed as though God sent him to enrich my life with his humility, sincerity, and friendship, which I have thoroughly enjoyed for the last couple of years and will never forget. Find some solace during these difficult times in knowing that he will be missed, not only by his family, but also by his friends, like me, that he made along the way and have brought another pleasurable dimension to our lives. I will forever miss him. May he rest in peace in the arms of the Lord and rise in glory. Yours respectfully, Rupert Harris. This next tribute is from Sam Maduri, the president of Petra Hygienic Systems, who was a work associate of our dad. I was very sorry to hear of your father's passing last week. Your dad was a very special person and will always have a special place in my heart. He meant a lot to me, both personally and professionally, and helped make Petra a success with his formulations over the years. I first met Lou almost 30 years ago when he was working for Glamour Look Cosmetics. When he left there and started his own consulting business, I hired him to create some formulas for us. He did such a great job that many of these formulas and products are still being used today. And one of them, foaming shave gel, is one of our best sellers. Whenever he used to visit our offices, I would always chuckle when he would lock his steering wheel using the club, as if his car might be stolen in front of our offices during working hours. He had a gentle spirit and was always very courteous and respectful, yet he could also be firm when necessary. He was also very generous and often bought donuts and treats for our staff whenever he visited. And in his later years, when he became passionate about home baking, he would bring us samples of his latest creations. I will miss his occasional visits, and as a company, we will miss his contributions to our operations. He will remain in our memories for years to come. Sincerely, Sam Maduri.
This next tribute is from Bridgette Manning from Biofora Medical Skincare. She said, I will be attending your dad's funeral virtually tomorrow, along with some others who knew and loved him well. Your father was very special to me. I felt very fortunate to have had him as a friend and as a mentor. Although he was very educated and skilled in chemistry, he worked with me patiently and enthusiastically as we created, as we both agreed, the best medical-grade skincare products on the market today. He taught me so much. I will miss him and his infectious sense of humor. He talked with pride about his awesome daughters and lovely wife. He was close to God, and God was close to him. He will be missed here on earth and welcomed with open arms in heaven. With love, Bridgette. This next tribute is from my dad's nephew and our cousin, Rock Gonsalves. He writes, the dazzling burgundy-colored running track, the deafening sound and the sheer magnitude of cheering fans reverberating through the colossal stadium was a veritable feast for my 11-year-old senses. The experience was concurrently jarring and invigorating. The year is 1976, July. The place, the Olympic Stadium in Montreal. For some unknown reason, my Uncle Lewis decided to take only me to watch the track and field events, much to the chagrin of my younger brother, Colin, I recently discovered. Just a few weeks earlier, my parents, Furman and Sylvia, the sister of Uncle Lewis, my sister Millie, 10 years old, brothers Colin, almost 8 years old, and Kevin, 6 years old, had arrived in Montreal from Karachi, Pakistan. We lived with Uncle Lewis, Auntie Francesca, and Suzanne for the first month upon our arrival. 9 people sharing a 2-bedroom apartment with 1 washroom. I distinctly remember milk in a bag, Cheerios, Auntie Francesca's soothing words and loving smiles, and Uncle Lewis's calming reassurances that we will adapt to this country that at the time resembled an alternate universe. Nevertheless, we felt safe and supported. My brother Colin recollects the smell of freshly cut grass and injuring his knee while playing soccer during that first month. Uncle Lewis took him to the hospital to get the 3 stitches needed to heal the wound. The only 3 stitches I've gotten in my life after playing hockey for 40 years, Colin jokes now. Probably not so funny at the time. Our journey to Montreal, the successes that followed, the many blessings we cherished, can be principally ascribed to the foresight and unwavering kindness of Uncle Lewis. How do you thank a man who has impacted your life in such a meaningful manner? Where would I be? Where would we be without his courageous intentions? As my dad recalls, in 1973, as Uncle Lewis and his family were about to immigrate from Karachi to Montreal, he arrives at our home to say goodbye and then quietly offers to sponsor our family once he has settled. Despite the many demands he undoubtedly had to navigate during this time of upheaval, he is concerned for our well-being and our future. This very kind and selfless gesture should not be surprising to those who are familiar with his story. A story of a humble, intelligent, and faithful man, unconditionally devoted to God and his family. His narrative is littered with incidences of challenges met, challenges surpassed, undeterred by chance and circumstances. The challenge of being born into a family of 8 children of modest means, where access to a higher education was at best a dream, the challenges of learning a different language, French, adapting to a foreign country, France, and then completing and defending his doctorate in chemistry in his newly acquired second language. Soon after, he would encounter the challenges of migrating to Canada with a young family, and finally the challenges of caring for Auntie Francesca, especially during the latter years of her life. He never perceived this as a burden or a challenge, but as a sacred endeavor. Over 40 years ago, my Uncle Lewis was pivotal in helping us secure an implausible future that none of us conceived at the time, but most certainly would not have occurred without his timely intervention. We are forever grateful. To borrow a phrase from the storyteller Richard Wagamese, our remarkable Uncle Lewis now rests for all eternity in the loving arms of our endearing memories.
It is now a privilege for Karen and I to share our thoughts, feelings, and memories of our dad who meant so much to us. God blessed our dad with many gifts and talents, and all the glory goes to the Lord. Our dad loved his Savior, Jesus Christ, with all his heart and wanted to honor and serve God. He was a man who led his family by example. If there's one verse which summarizes our dad's advice to us, it would be Proverbs 4, verse 1. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to know not understanding. Our dad was a man of few words, yet his actions spoke volumes. Every morning, he would start his day with Bible reading and prayer. And this was at the top of his list of things to do each day. He enjoyed spending time with the Lord and encouraged us both to do the same. Our dad grew up in Karachi, Pakistan, in a loving and a large family. He was the second of eight children, born to Mark and Mary Fernandez. At the young age of eight, he became the eldest son. He, being the eldest son, assumed several responsibilities in the home to help his family, as his dad was away in the army. As a young child, he would travel a distance to pay the rent bill. As he grew up, he developed an interest in science. Through determination and hard work, he went on to complete a degree in chemistry and microbiology. Soon after this, he began his career working in the Pakistan Council of Scientific and Industrial Research. His work involved isolating a specific compound found in the chokshu plant and determining its structure. This research was helpful as the seeds of this plant are used in medicine. His interest in research grew, and he wanted to pursue further studies in chemistry. However, he didn't have the funds needed to do so. In 1965, he was offered a scholarship by the French government to pursue a doctoral degree in chemistry at the University of Paris. He learned French as a second language and completed and defended his thesis in the French language and graduated with distinction in 1970. After this time, he returned to Karachi, Pakistan to resume his work, and it was at this time that he met our mom, Francesca Castellino, who he loved very much. They were married on February 21st, 1971. Wanting a better life for his family, Dad decided it would be best to immigrate to Canada. With courage, he would leave his family and his home country to settle in a new place with his young family. In August of 1973, they arrived in Montreal, Quebec, along with myself as a baby. They arrived in Canada with only $200 in hand and no job. We are very thankful that our Uncle Michael and his family welcomed Mom and Dad to Canada and let them stay with them until they were settled.
Our dad was very involved in our lives and mentored us. Dad would read to us as children. He loved to read inspiring biographies and testimonies of heroes of faith. As a young child, I would ask a lot of questions. One particular day, I remember asking my dad why we had to wash our hands before eating our meals. My dad simply replied, "Because of germs." I asked, "What are germs?" Dad simply said, "I'll show you." One day, he took me to his workplace and introduced me to the microbiologist. He simply said to her, "She wants to know what germs are." I remember climbing up onto a step stool, peering into a microscope, and for the first time, I saw tiny living things moving around. And instantly, I understood germs are tiny living things that can cause harm. As we grew up, our dad would take us to his lab, and we would work together during our breaks from school. His work was more of a hobby to him, and he enjoyed very much what he did and wanted to teach us. We remember when we were young, Dad would take us tobogganing, also for figure skating lessons, And then after these lessons, he would treat us to hot chocolate and fries from the snack shop at the skating rink. He wanted us to enjoy winter activities, things that he had never had growing up. He would also take us for our weekly piano lessons and encouraged us to sing. Dad believed in education and wanted us to do our best in school. He would often proofread our assignments and give us suggestions on how to improve our work. And he came to every parent-teacher meeting and all of our concerts and school events. Even in his later years, he would support us and me as a teacher and would attend the Whitfield Christian School music concerts. In 1984, our family moved to Toronto for our dad's work. He continued to work in various companies as quality control manager and then later in the formulation of personal care products. He very much enjoyed formula development the most, and in 1994, he started his own business and began formulating hair and skin care products for various clients. He was very much pleased with his anti-wrinkle serum and his pain relief spray. Dad continued his business until 2016, upon which he turned his attention to creating healthy recipes that the whole family enjoyed. He was particularly good at making cookies and crepes and would often prepare and deliver them to his friends. However, our family favorite dish would be when he would make biryani.
Even though Dad enjoyed his work, his main passion was to reach people for Christ. He would look for opportunities to share his faith. Jesus had made a difference in his life, and he wanted to share that with others. Years ago, he, along with a few friends, would hand out tracts in front of the Eden Center and also at the CNE to share the gospel with people. He was a man of honesty and integrity and cared for those in need. If he could ever help someone, he would. He had a special concern for those who needed employment because he had experienced that need himself in the past. Dad enjoyed exercising. And when he was able, he would go every day to Planet Fitness. He also enjoyed playing table tennis at the church gym nights and at our local community center. Although Dad continued to keep busy, he had a heavy heart. He missed our mom very much, as she had passed away just a little over 7 months ago. He would often reassure us that God is in control and not to worry. We are comforted to know that Dad is safely home with his Heavenly Father and is reunited with our mom, rejoicing together in heaven. We are thankful for the hope we have in Christ, that is, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Growing up, Dad always enjoyed it when we would sing as a family. In closing, Karen and I would like to sing, "It Will Be Worth It All," when we see Jesus.
We see Jesus. trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Life's day will soon be o'er, all storms forever past. We'll cross the great divide
Well, thank you, Suzanne and Karen, for a lovely tribute to your dear father and also sharing with us a lovely message in song. I want to read to you just a couple of verses from Psalm 116. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits unto me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Our purpose for meeting here today is to say farewell to a brother in the Lord, Dr. Luis Fernandez, a loved one, a faithful husband, a beloved father, a friend to many, and a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ unto the very end. Suzanne and Karen, on behalf of myself and my wife and our elders and deacons in our congregation, we want to extend our sincere condolences to you both, and of course to all the family who are both gathered and able to watch the service today online. We know that the passing of a loved one is never an easy thing, because really a part of our life has been torn from us. You have recollections of many things, and you shared many of those today. Some things that maybe at the time seemed very, very simple, but they are now precious memories, things that are really in a treasure chest now of things that are precious to you. And there are moments and things we won't forget. But you know, we do not, as believers in Christ, we do not sorrow as those that have no hope, because we know today that our dear brother is not here. He is absent from his body. He is present with the Lord in glory. Behind me in the coffin is a shell. His spirit is not there. His spirit has departed to be with the Lord, which is far better. You know, at a time like this, there is nothing like the Word of God to bring reality to life. For the Scripture tells us it's better to go into the house of mourning than into the house of feasting. Why? Because this is the end of all life. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the one who brings peace to a troubled heart. He brings comfort to those who are grieving. Yes, and He brings sense and reason and purpose to our life on this earth. Our brother Lewis was a quiet and unassuming man in many ways, but he was always an encouragement to others. He showed very clearly by his countenance that he had a love for God. He sometimes felt, though, that his faith was weak and he could not make much an influence on other people. But this is certain, that he had faith in a strong Savior. And that was at the heart of what he believed. He had strong confidence in the Word of God. And it meant that he was able to strengthen other people that he came in contact with. And I know that from a personal point of view. He loved the Savior with his heart. And his testimony was uncompromising. He was a strong man in his faith. And he believed in witnessing. He would often ask me, "Pastor, do you have a Bible that I could give to a friend? I've been witnessing to someone and I want to share with them the Word of God." And he would do that. He was a very fit man and always was quite an amazement to us of how well he was able to get around, and he loved activity and sporting. He enjoyed table tennis. He was an enthusiastic contender on our Monday evening gym nights, and we loved to see him there. And it was a specific blessing. He would sometimes, you know, at the end of a message, the sermon on a Sunday, I'd be standing at the door and Lewis would walk out and he would just be standing off to the side a bit, just not saying anything. And then when there was a lull, when no one was around for a moment, he would come up and say, "Pastor," he says, "I have a joke for you." And so he would begin to tell the joke. But he would not get one sentence into the joke, and I could see he's starting to laugh. And he would start to tell a bit more, and he would start to laugh. He couldn't get finished the joke telling it because he would laugh to himself. And that was just the nature of him. He always had a smile. And behind the rather serious exterior sometimes, there was a man who had great joy. He would love to share his experiences in the laboratory with others. And we've already heard today that he really enjoyed making different lotions and potions. And he would make anti-wrinkle cream, anti-hair loss cream. And so in the church, I think he would spy out some people. "Now there's a brother that needs some anti-hair loss cream." And then he would give me the anti-wrinkle cream. And I think, oh boy, okay, that's evident. I can see why he's done that. But it was always a joy to share in the different experiences he had. I can say personally, he was a real blessing to me because he would often come and say, "Pastor, I want you to know I am praying for you every day." And he said, "I am praying that God would fill this church with every pew would be filled." And I said, "My brother Lewis," I said, "thank you for your encouragement." There's nothing that a pastor can rejoice in more to know that he is being prayed for and that people in the church are praying for the ministry that the Lord has put us in. And you know, every fellowship, every church goes through times of difficulty, and Lewis stood very faithfully by the work of God here through thick and thin. And he would always say, "Pastor, be encouraged. God is able, and he will fulfill his perfect will in the ministry here." Our brother will be greatly missed, and a prayer warrior has been taken home. And as I've said before, who will come along to replace such a man of prayer and of witness? This verse that I have read to you in Psalm 116 tells us, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. But you know, it really begs the question about the whole idea of death and what it is and why is it. You see, friend, the fact of death is all around us. And at the very beginning of time, when God created man, death was not around. But when sin came in through Adam, that's when death was brought upon all humanity. The Bible says that as in Adam, all die. So it's part of the stark reality of life. It's all around us. And yet sometimes folks are reluctant to really talk about the issue of death itself. Oh, we hear about the statistics of it, and we've heard so much during this whole COVID time, and we are facing it today again. But to talk about death itself and the personal reality of that, it's not something that too many are comfortable to really enter into. You know, friends, when we think about it, death has come upon all humanity because of sin. But when we say that, as we're here today, our brother Fernandez was no more a sinner than anyone else, that's not why his death today. But we know that the Scripture has told us that all of us have broken the law of God, and therefore, because of that, sin has come upon all humanity and death likewise. The soul that sins, God said, it shall die. That's at the heart of this very verse I'm leaving with you today, because God says that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So it happens to all humanity, and it also happens to believers, to Christians, to those that God calls his saints. But why, as the question comes to us, why should saints die? I mean, if God has declared someone to be a saint, why should they go through death? Could God not just take us out of earth and not let us go through the process of death? Oh, my friends, we must die in order that this body, this mortal, might put on immortality. It's essential that we will die. Even saints who are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Yes, we will come to the end of an experience in this world, but it's only forms for us and gives a transition that we might go to the next world, to the world that is to come. The death of the body, it's only a stepping stone into eternal life with Christ. Oh, but wait. You must be declared a saint before you will be welcomed into God's presence. This mortal body must put off in order that you and I can take on the life that God has promised for us. Friend, death is coming to us all. And today is a reminder of that. Death is coming to us all. It's like an express train that's coming down the rail. And it's coming for each one of us. The question comes, are you ready for that appointment with death? Are we ready? We all will one day come to the point of our death. The only way a person can be ready to meet death is to be sure that our spirit is ready to be transferred to God. And how can that be? Well, friend, it's by this. By knowing that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has covered my sin. Oh, yeah, we come back to that sin point again, because that's the thing that separates between us and God. And therefore, when a person knows that Christ Jesus, who died on the cross and shed His blood to wash my sin away, if I have received Him, if I am born again of the Spirit of God, then I will know that I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the great hope that we have. Jesus came down to this world to die in my place because I am a sinner and He was sinless. And when He died, He made atonement. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You might wonder, when the Bible speaks here about a saint, how is a person made a saint? I can tell you today, it's not a declaration by a church. It's not a declaration by a group of religious leaders. No, that's not how a saint is made. A saint is made according to the Word of God. When someone is saved by the grace of God and we are transformed, we're born anew. We're given spiritual life. And that is when God declares a saint. So every person who is a believer in Jesus Christ is declared by the Lord to be His saint. It begs the question today to those who are here and those who are listening, are you a saint of God? You can be by receiving the Lord Jesus into your heart and by repenting of your sin. You can know today that you are described by the Lord as a saint. Our text in the Bible says that the death of a saint is what God says is precious. Precious. To us, the last great enemy that we will have to deal with is the enemy of death. But for the saint, death is the opening, the closing of one door of life on earth and the opening of a new door into glory and into heaven forever and ever. It's when God will welcome His children home. To us, of course, there is a finality to death because one who was living and breathing and enjoying fellowship with each other not that long ago is now gone from us here. And that's hard. And you have to deal with the difficulty of that because a loved one has been taken away from us. Oh, but friend, to the Lord, to the God of heaven, this is a day of thanksgiving. We could say that God rejoices today because His saint has come into His presence. Why would that be? Because our brother Fernandez, our brother Lewis's life work is finished. And God declared, it's time now, Lewis, to come home. That's why the death of this brother is precious in the eyes of God, because He said, my servant, it's time to come home, my child. And that's exactly what the Lord has done. Because we have been purchased with the blood of the everlasting covenant, we are now welcomed into the presence of our holy and beloved God. The word precious means valuable. Yes, in the eyes of God, our death is valuable. Valuable because it means we will now be, for all eternity, in unbroken fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Oh, friend, is that your experience today? Do you know Him? Do you love the Lord? Because if you know and love Him, you'll be, as the hymn writer said, forever with the Lord. Amen. So let it be. Life from the dead is in that word. It is immortality. And that's the hope that we have today. Friends, it means that at no time or any circumstance is the death of a child of God meaningless. It is full of meaning. And God says so in His Word. He said, it is precious, it is valuable to Him. That's why the Lord is the one who is the attendant at the sick bed. God is the attendant in the emergency room. He is at the senior's residence. He is at the young sporting event where a life is taken. He is beside the infant's crib. Yes, friend, precious in the sight of our God is the death of His saints. And so the only way, friend, that you can know today that you are a saint of God is by trusting in Jesus as your Savior. And I pray that today you will do just that. For I know that this is the message that our brother Lewis would want me to share with you today. Have you trusted in God's only begotten Son as your Savior? We're going to sing another hymn as we close our service now. Face to Face with Christ My Savior. This was the same hymn that was sung at Sister Francesca's funeral, and both Francesca and Lewis wanted this hymn sung at their funeral, so we're going to honor them and honor the Lord by singing that again. Please stand. Thank you. Loving Father, we pray that today the Word of God will be so pressed upon every soul that there would be great comfort, great peace, in the knowledge that though a loved one has gone from us, the testimony, the memories, the witness, so precious, so powerful, will remain in the hearts of many. And Lord, I pray now that you would part us in your fear, with your rich blessing. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thankful for the privilege we have of hearing the Word of God and of knowing that the Lord's Word is a comfort to us in every time of life circumstances. The Word of God, Job said, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth." Job had a hope that Christ Jesus, his Redeemer, would not only come to earth, but he would return the second time. And you know, when Christ Jesus comes back the second time, he has promised that that will be the resurrection of all his people that have gone and died before. And you know, that's a great hope for us today. If we're in Christ, if we are truly saints by the definition of God's word, then we have hope, and a hope that is forever. The Apostle Paul said this, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." I believe that that testimony could be equally said of our brother Fernandez. He has finished his course, and it was God's timing for him. There is an appointment for our birth, and there is an appointed day for our death. And in Christ, that day will not come sooner than God has sovereignly purposed. Henceforth, Paul said, "There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing," the appearing of our Lord. There's great comfort in that, friends, today. A loved one is gone. The family has to deal with that. And the days that are following and the weeks, they get sometimes harder. And loved ones need to be praying for each other at a time like this. Paul said, "So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? For the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's coming a day when God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. In this earth there's so much cause for tears and anguish and sorrow, upset and heartbreak. And that doesn't come just to the world, but it comes to everyone, Christians, everyone included. But there's coming a day when we will be in the presence of our Lord and King, that he will wipe all tear away. All pain, suffering, sorrow, death will be gone, because today we know that in Christ, death is swallowed up in victory. That word swallowed is interesting. It's not something that is taken by a little bite, but it's something that is consumed entirely. So you can imagine when Jonah was in the water, the fish did not chew him, the whale swallowed him completely. And this is the same way in which death is swallowed up. Christ has done this. It is absolutely consumed, and he is victorious over the grave. And the hope, friend, that we have today is a hope that goes beyond flesh and blood. It's a hope that is eternal in the heavens. As we're here today over this open grave, this is a sermon that is preached better than any words. Because all of us standing here today will one day be in this place, maybe before too long. We don't know. How essential it is that we are prepared and ready. Oh, friends. The Lord Jesus has promised that he will come again and receive us unto himself. That's why he said to the disciples, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house, he said, are many mansions. And he has gone to prepare a place, and he will come again and receive us unto himself. It is pleased the Almighty God to take unto himself the soul of our dear departed brother. And as we commit his body now, the shell, the frame that goes back into the ground, to the dust, so his spirit is in the presence of the Lord. And that's our great hope today. A sure knowledge that Christ is back, coming back, and that we will go one day very soon to be with him forever. I hope, friend, that everyone here today, you know by experience a personal relationship with Christ. You know him in your heart. That's all that matters in life. It's all that matters in death, if we know him. Let's pray. Our eternal God, as we are standing here today under the open sky of heaven, we are thankful for the great hope that we have. Because Christ lives, we shall live also. And I pray that today, that every heart would be touched by the power of the Word of God, and that we would understand and know what it is to experience the reality of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Father, bless the family this day. Be with Suzanne and Karen. Comfort their hearts. Be with every loved one. Lord, let the Word of God be a comfort that no human words can give. Bless now this day and in the days that are following, and all of the details that have to be yet accomplished and taken care of. Lord, bless, we pray, and help. So, Father, part us now in your fear, and with your rich blessing. We ask this in Jesus' precious name.